Westminster Weekend, up next on Abounding Grace Radio. Join us. Pastor Chris Gordon, and on behalf of the Linden United Reformed Church, we bring you Westminster Weekend.
Thanks, Chris. Hi, this is Scott Clark for Westminster Weekend. Westminster Seminary, California is 30 years old, and we're celebrating our anniversary by looking at our past and looking forward to our future by talking to faculty about how they got here. Today is part two of a two-part series with the Reverend Dr. Michael Horton, J. Gresham Machen Professor of Systematic Theology and Apologetics at Westminster Seminary, California.
What do you think would be the biggest or one of the biggest changes that took place for you while you were in seminary?
I think that one of the biggest changes for me was I had already begun through, again, the writings of a lot of Westminster people and others. I had already come to appreciate covenant theology and eschatology, the emphasis on eschatology that you find in Gerhardus Voss and Hermann Ritterbos. But, you know, when you're teaching yourself, you're only picking up what you are capable of teaching yourself. And that is pretty finite, pretty myopic. In coming here, I was taught all sorts of things that I never would have studied on my own, including the biblical languages.
Yeah.
And I think that a deeper insight into biblical hermeneutics and interpretation, certainly an amazing opportunity to study with Meredith Klein.
Mm-hmm.
These were not just great teachers. These were paradigm-shifting teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we still have that very much on the faculty today. That tradition continues, but I remember walking out of different classes, especially I think of Meredith Klein's classes, and not just saying I have more information, but I think completely differently.
Yeah,
and it was mind blowing. Every class, I would say he can't do it again, and he would. Now, not everybody teaches like that.
Yeah,
not everybody has a really revolutionary style of pedagogy. It was what he was saying, not how he was doing it, that was so profound. And I found in different ways, with different styles, different methods, the same thing with Robert Strimple, Robert Godfrey, and mm-hmm. others, Dennis Johnson, others who taught here.
So now, all these years later, you're here. You're on the faculty, and you've been here for a number of years, and now teaching with some of the people with whom you studied.
Shocking that people who know me so well nevertheless voted, however unwisely, to bring me on board.
Well, so and students now are saying some of the same things about your classes that you used to say about your profs when you were walking out of class. So how is it? What is it like to be here to teach in a place where you studied and in a place that had such an effect on you?
Wonderful. I think one thing that is even better than when I was here as a student is the sense of camaraderie among the professors working on a similar project. It's always been the case, I think, that the professors here felt like they were on a common mission, but the depth of commitment to spending time together, hanging out informally, working through projects, talking about their projects, sharing them with each other, really creates an atmosphere of charity and openness and free discussion and common purpose. And I think you see that spilling out in the student body. When I was a student here, there were some differences over worship styles and other issues that sometimes divided the community. And I just don't see that now at all. It's not that everybody agrees, but everybody's learning, everybody's inquisitive. the students are fantastic. They have taught me so much. I've learned so much from their papers and from interaction with them. They challenge me all the time. We get some really good students. And it's not so much that they come from Ivy League schools and they have 4.0 grade GPAs. It's that wherever they come from, they have a very high determination to understand the Bible and all of the apparatus that is necessary for doing that faithfully as pastors, missionaries, teachers, elders. And that passion is so different from people who are wanting to become entrepreneurs or bureaucrats. No, they want to become pastors, and they want to become teachers. They want to take a place in Christ's body to serve in that way. That, to me, creates a community that really is centered around the Word, everybody excited about digging more deeply into it and understanding how the church has interpreted that down through the centuries.
In the 17th century, John Bunyan gave us the character Mr. Valiant for Truth. In the 20th century, God gave us another Mr. Valiant for Truth, J. Gresham Machen, the founder of Westminster Seminary. The spirit of Machen lives on at Westminster Seminary, California, where for 30 years we've been fulfilling his vision of training men for ministry and preparing them to be expert in the Bible. WSCAL.edu, 888-480-8474, Westminster Seminary, California, for Christ, his gospel, and his church.
You're known for doing a lot of different things at the same time. Yeah. And all of it, it seems to me, and to a lot of people, at a remarkably high level. How is it you're able to manage all of that? I mean, you're editing a magazine, you are co-hosting a radio program, and you publishing, you know, one or sometimes two books a year. How does all that happen?
Just put different covers on them. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I have an amazing staff at White Horse Inn. They are really skilled at what they do, and because of that, I'm able to do a lot of other things. And so, the White Horse Inn and Modern Reformation are things that I can get involved with at exactly the level that I can afford to be involved in things. Also, I have a lovely wife who has bent over backwards to give me space to write at home and during the summers. And
she is a saint.
She really is a saint in so many different ways. But I think it's due more to those factors than anything else.
What do you think is the result, if you will, or the influence on your academic work of the work that you do with MR and White Horse Inn?
Well, I think it's really helpful. I don't think it's all that helpful necessarily when I come out of the clouds immediately. I'm always told, especially by my wife, when I preach or when I write an article for a wider audience, just after I have finished one of those academic books, my wife often tells me, you need to dry out for a little longer.
And by that she means
yeah, not
now we're back to Machen 1929 and all of those allegations.
Exactly. No, I need some time to come down out of the clouds. And that's true. On the other hand, I think it really does help to think about issues that I do think we need to share with all of God's people, not just people engaged full-time in the academic study of the Bible and theology. So I think now what I'm really excited about is being able to do that more centrally. My focus now is less on the academic writing. Mm-hmm. I've finished the 4-volume series I was working on.
And I want to talk about that in a minute, but go ahead.
And I'm focusing now on more popular books, Christless Christianity, The Gospel-Driven Life, and others that I'm working on. And I'm finding that a lot of the thinking and research and reflection that I've done on those more academic books really has provided grist for the mill as I'm writing these more popular books. So it's, I think it's been helpful for me.
Now, one of the major projects on which you've been working for the last several years is this multi-volume series with Westminster John Knox Press, starting with Covenant and Eschatology and ending with People in Place. That those are the bookend volumes. Talk about that series, what your intent was, where it's, what the audience is, and what you hope comes out of that.
Sure. Well, I wanted to write a... I know this sounds arrogant for a youngster to be doing this. I'm not a youngster anymore.
I was going to say, yeah. But not so fast.
Not so fast. I wanted to write something in the vein of, obviously not at the same not the same height of, but in the same vein of Herman Bavinck's Reformed Dogmatics. Systematic theology, I think of as a summary of Christian doctrine. And so you can't spend a lot of time on any one doctrine. You have to keep moving. And you can't, you've got to cover the whole gamut of Christian doctrine in one swoop. With dogmatics, you can dip into particular themes that are prominent in our Reformed tradition and investigate them a little bit more. And tease out implications and think about those implications in the light of contemporary thought. And I, to be honest, I think one area where we haven't done quite enough yet in Reformed, conservative Reformed circles is in engaging with contemporary philosophy, contemporary culture, contemporary even contemporary mainline theology. Understandably, we've been so burned by what mainline Protestantism has done to the Christian faith that we really miss out on larger, wider conversations where some really serious work is being done that we can be edified by. And even if we don't agree with everything that someone says, we can, I think, learn a lot from the discussion. So a conversational approach, you can't do, in a systematic theology, you can't be conversational. Your whole point there is to lay out... Is to teach a Reformed view of the Christian faith. Reformed dogmatics, you can have a conversation. So with these four volumes, I wanted to have a conversation with not even all of them Christians, but thinkers in our own time and place, and how Reformed Christianity... responds to some of the issues and questions that are raised in our times. And in each of these books, I've tried to think through our dogmatics with the lens that we have been given already, historically, covenant and eschatology. What would it look like if we really thought through not just the end times, but all of our theology in the light of covenant, the themes of covenant and eschatology. Not that everything can be reduced to it, but focus on that a little bit more.
Thanks, Mike. That's it for Westminster Weekend from Westminster Seminary, California. Thanks for listening. I'm Scott Clark. Be sure to join us again next week, same time, same station, for another episode of Westminster Weekend. Find us on the web at wscal.edu or email us at weekend@wscal.edu. And now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Westminster Weekend was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times on the Lord's Day. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com, or you can give us a call, 360-318-0429. Again, that web address is lindenurc.com. We thank you for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.